Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving Day edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I got to tell you, we're on this program, we're going to recap Week 11's most important games, and we're going to preview the Thanksgiving Day games. And I have an interview with Jeff Hartman from Behind the Steel Curtain. Can't wait to check that interview out, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. And also, you know, again, this is a special edition of this, of the NFL Wrap-Up, because this is the Thanksgiving Day special. So on behalf of yours truly, Ed, and everyone else, I would just want to tell all the listeners out there once again, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And 2020 has been a very interesting year, but nevertheless, hopefully finish out the year strong, and hoping that you're taking the proper precautions to celebrate Thanksgiving, and you do it, you socially distance, and you do it properly. All right, now it's time to get to the most important games from Week 11 in the National Football League. Let's start with the Thursday night showdown between the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC West. It was a great game, a fantastic game. The Seattle Seahawks would go on to beat the Arizona Cardinals. The final score, 28-21. Great game that went to overtime in Charm City between the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore held their own for a minute, but Derrick Henry scored the game-winning touchdown as the Titans would go on to beat the Ravens in overtime. Final score, 30-24. Good game in wild weather up in Cleveland between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Cleveland Browns. The Browns held their own, took advantage of the Eagles, and Cleveland would go on to win. The final score was 22-17. No Drew Brees, no problem. Taysom Hill handled his business in more ways than one, getting help from Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and the rest of the Saints offense, and the defense stepped up as well with the likes of Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, and David Onyemata as the New Orleans Saints steamrolled the Atlanta Falcons 24-9. The Miami Dolphins took on the Denver Broncos in a West Coast showdown out in Denver. Tua Tagovailoa was benched due as a result of performance. But Denver held on to win. Drew Lock threw a couple of touchdown passes in the game. Melvin Gordon played a great game as well. The Broncos were going to beat the Dolphins. Final score, 20-13. A great game it was, between two future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Philip Rivers. It went down to the wire. It would go to overtime. Just as Green Bay was on its way to possibly getting a score, this happened.
Valdez-Scantling falls out. And the Colts have it. The rookie Julian Blackman knocked it out, and it's recovered by DeForest Buckner.
That audio was courtesy of Fox Sports in the National Football League with Joe Buck on the call. So in the overtime period, the Packers and the Colts were tied at 31. After the Colts had a successful drive, they did just enough to get in field goal range, and this is how the game ended.
Here in this ball game, from 39 to win it.
Indianapolis Colts kicker Rodrigo Blankenship kicked the game-winning field goal in overtime to give the Colts a 34-31 victory over the Green Bay Packers in overtime. Sunday night showdown it was between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders jumped ahead in the contest, and it was a tough game. It was a great game from start to finish. And I tell you one thing, old faithful Jason Witten, he never seems to amaze. I'm sorry, I said Oakland, the Las Vegas Raiders. It's still taking me time to say that. The Las Vegas Raiders were actually the game was tied when the Raiders were making a run, but Las Vegas would come back with a touchdown from Jason Witten.
Fake. Carr looking. Coverage is great. Finally throwing, and that will be caught for the touchdown by, of all people, Jason Witten.
That audio was courtesy of NBC Sports with Al Michaels. Again, Las Vegas Raiders tight end Jason Witten scored the touchdown, and it would tie the game up. But Patrick Mahomes, you can't sleep on him. Here's the game-winning touchdown pass to Travis Kelce.
From 15.
Well, the Chiefs actually helped him.
Great protection again. Mahomes to the end zone. Wide open. Touchdown, Kelce. Patrick Mahomes, who extends plays like no other.
Again, that was Al Michaels with the call from NBC Sports, as well as Chris Collinsworth. So the touchdown was successful. And remember, the Raiders, the Las Vegas had a chance to come back into the contest. But unfortunately, things don't always go as the way it's planned. Here's how it ended.
Davis with the play.
Sammy Davis, let's see. Deep down the sideline. That's going to be picked off at the 43-yard line. That's Daniel Sorensen. He'll stop right there, and the Kansas City Chiefs will be flying home with a victory.
And that's how the game ended, with Kansas City Chiefs safety Daniel Sorensen getting the interception. And the final score in Sunday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs 35, the Las Vegas Raiders 31. And, of course, we had a thrilling Sunday night matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was a back and forth. It was a tight game, but the Rams hold on to beat the Buccaneers 27-24. And those were the most important games from Week 11 in the National Football League. All right, now here are my top three storylines. You know, the NFL, the National Football League truly stands for not for long. Not for long will you be a starting quarterback. Not for long will you be playing in the National Football League. Joe Burrow, sky is the limit for Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals franchise. The inevitable always, it never seems to amaze me, you know, with injuries to always to just key players. But it happens when you're playing professional football or any professional sport. Here's how the injury happened.
The sixth drop pass by the Bengals, fewest of any team in the NFL this season. 3rd and 2. Burrow hit on a release, puts the nail under it. Near side for Boyd, and it's incomplete. No flag. It was Kendall Fuller, and now Burrow, oh boy, clutching his left leg.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Bengals head coach Zach Taylor has come onto the field as the athletic trainers and medical people now surround Joe Burrow. Looks like the left knee that they're looking at, and Burrow.
And that audio, again, is courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. So the inevitable happened. Joe Burrow, the official diagnosis that he suffered a tear to his ACL and his MCL and his left knee, and the rest of his 2020 season is over with. Now, he went on Twitter and said that he looked forward to seeing football fans in next year for 2021. Now, the injury was worse than what was first projected. Not only did he have a tear of the ACL and the MCL, but he also suffered structural damage. This is just always tough when you have a once-in-a-lifetime talent like Joe Burrow, and the expectations are so high, were high, and continue to remain high in Cincinnati. Cincinnati, you know, the quarterbacks, if you really know your history of the Bengals organization, with the likes of Ken Anderson and Boomer Esiason, and, of course, Carson Palmer. But Joe Burrow was really the one. He's really the chosen one. He's really the one that's going to take this franchise into another stratosphere for the next 10, 15 years. And now for this to happen is a dagger. And it's always tough when you see players with that level of potential and the ability to do so many great things. And for this to happen is just unreal. But if anybody could come bounce back from this, it would be Joe Burrow. He's tough as they come, being a transfer to LSU after not getting really any playing time at all at Ohio State, 2 years at LSU, his senior year, win the national championship. And, you know, just Joe Burrow is just made out of good stock. He comes from the right pedigree, and they're saying that he will be ready for the 2021 season. Again, with an ACL and an MCL, I mean, man, the rehab and, you know, having to go through the motions again, it's just, you know, it's just going to be tough. It remains to be seen. But in the short term, Joe is resting comfortably, surgery is, I believe the surgery was done already, if I'm not mistaken, but the surgery is definitely looming. And I know Joe is resting and before he starts the rehab process and just getting back out there on the football field. So our thoughts and prayers and well wishes are with Joe Burrow to make a speedy recovery. My next storyline is going to be Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, man, one of the complete utility players in the National Football League. When Sean Payton announced that Taysom Hill was going to be the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, I said to myself, I had my doubts about that one because I looked at it, Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston was the league's leading passer. He also led the league in interceptions thrown last year. But I had Jameis in it because I thought he had the quarterback knowledge. He was someone that was a proven seasoned vet as a starting quarterback. As a starting quarterback in the National Football League. Taysom Hill, he only maybe taken like two or three snaps as a quarterback, but had primarily come in as a utility player, set up at wide receiver, set up at running back, tight end, and things of that nature. So the jury was out in terms of him being a quarterback. But I tell you one thing, Taysom, he sliced and diced up that Atlanta defense in more ways than one. Getting two rushing touchdowns, making some key plays on the passing attack. It's just Taysom played very well in this game. Now, in the long term, will he be the answer for the Saints whenever Drew Brees hangs it up? We don't know. It remains to be seen. But I can tell you one thing in the short term. Taysom Hill has caused matchup problems for a long time, and he could cause more matchup problems if he continues to play at this high level and the Saints' defense can play high level, it's going to be trouble going into the remainder of the second half of the year and going into the postseason. And for my last storyline, it's going to be the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams, people aren't paying attention to the Rams. In the NFC, it's the Saints, it's the Seahawks, it's the Cardinals, it's Green Bay. But no one has paid attention to the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams are there, but no one's really paid much attention to them. I tell you one thing. On Monday night, Jared Goff completed 39 out of 51 passes. He put on a show. But also, let's give credit to the Rams defense as well for holding Tom Brady and that Buccaneer offense at bay. The Rams defense was so solid and so effective when they held Russell Wilson and that Seahawk offense. The Rams have been really disrespected this year. If you look at all of the teams as far as California is concerned, California is still a Raider state. If you ask anybody that are natives of the state of California, people that reside in the state of California, it's a Raider state. It's the Raiders, it's the 49ers, it's the Cowboys, it's the Steelers, it's the Chargers. And then it's the Rams. Even in the heyday when the Rams were in L.A. the first time around with Eric Dickerson and also with Jim Everett and Flipper Anderson and Henry Ellard and Jackie Slater and people like that, it was always a Raider town and the other teams that I had mentioned. And when the Rams got to St. Louis, hey, the Rams were solid in St. Louis, but St. Louis is a baseball town. But now, even now with the new look Rams are having, the new stadium, they're still on the back burner of the other teams that come before them. But people really, really need to start paying attention to the Los Angeles Rams because they definitely could compete in the NFC. They could compete with the Saints. They could compete with Green Bay and Seattle. We saw them, they could do compete against Tampa Bay. So the sky is definitely the limit going forward for Tampa Bay in the second half of the year and going into the postseason. All right, those are my top three storylines. When I come back from the break, I have an interview with Jeff Hartman from Behind the Steel Curtain. It's a website powered by SB Nation dedicated to providing Pittsburgh Steelers content. Hope you're out there having some turkey or doing what you do with your Thanksgiving preparations for this Thanksgiving Day edition of NFL Wrap-Up. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt.
I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Between prepping ingredients, setting the table, and planning your tomorrow, sometimes you need an extra hand with dinner. Delta Faucet is here to help. Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot with Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology and fill it with the perfect amount of water. Done. Visit DeltaFaucet.com/VoiceIQ to see how Voice IQ can fill your dog's bowl, wash your hands, and more.
What if your driving was the main factor that determined your car insurance rate? Not where you live or what you look like. Not whether you got a degree or not, or what you do for a living. Just your driving. Well, we thought it was time to do just that, which is why we built Root Insurance, the first insurance company that bases rates primarily on how you drive, not who you are. Unlike other traditional car insurance companies who rely solely on demographics, Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. We care about the things that matter most when it comes to evaluating good drivers: braking, turning, what time of day you drive, and whether you're distracted or not. Here's how it works. Just download the Root app, get on the road. We'll learn your driving behaviors for a few weeks, and then give you a quote based primarily on your driving. That's it. Root, we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
I do. I think it's an extra phase to the offense. Deep shot. Caught. Touchdown. Claypool. Roethlisberger. Perfectly thrown. 10 touchdowns in 10 career games for Chase Claypool. Blow out the candle, Juju Smith-Schuster. Look at Claypool, one-on-one, and right there was Clay Brooks, who stopped his feet for just a nanosecond, motioning to something up in front of him. I'm not sure what. He just needed to be on his horse and in coverage to the outside, and Roethlisberger puts it in the perfect spot. And, of course, the way this season has gone, Claypool converts. Another touchdown for him.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. That was Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger throwing a touchdown pass to wide receiver Chase Claypool. And, of course, with the Steelers picking up an impressive victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 11 of the 2020 NFL season. We have a gentleman that's going to be coming up shortly to talk about all things Pittsburgh Steelers, the win over Jacksonville, and the Thanksgiving game against the Baltimore Ravens. And his name is Jeff Hartman. But in the meantime, I'll tell you what, the Steelers remain the only undefeated team in the National Football League. Ben Roethlisberger is playing at a high level. Once again, he's coming off of that elbow injury that he had last year. He's looked solid. He's definitely in the talk of being one of the MVP candidates. Also, Chase Claypool, not just Chase Claypool, but all of the other receivers that played well. Juju Smith-Schuster's played nice this year. James Washington, Deontay Johnson's been great. The running game has been a nice 1-2 punch with the likes of James Conner and also Benny Snell Jr. So definitely the Steelers offensively, they've got it going on. Defensively, they've got it going on right now. I mean, you've got the likes of Cameron Hayward. Also, you've got Bud Dupree, who's been a monster. Vince Williams has been great. How about Minka Fitzpatrick? Minka has been great. Minka has been so outstanding. I think within the last 2 years, he's been one of the best. The Steelers have made one of the best trade acquisitions in all of the NFL. Minka Fitzpatrick, since he arrived from Miami, has given the Steelers secondary just a ray of hope in the secondary. And we can't forget about Joe Hayden. Joe Hayden has been nice as well as Steven Nelson. So, we're going to have Jeff come on to talk more about that Steelers team as well as the upcoming game against the Baltimore Ravens on Thanksgiving. Definitely Pittsburgh, where, as I mentioned earlier, the only undefeated team left in the National Football League. Pittsburgh, Kansas City could be a preview of the AFC Championship, or maybe Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Right now, the top three teams are Kansas City, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh in the AFC, but you can't forget about the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. They've got something to say about this as well. So while we get Jeff on the program, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Jeff Hartman from Behind the Steel Curtain. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Root, good drivers save up to 52% on car insurance. That's because we care most about what really matters, your driving, not your age, not your job, not your zip code. It's how you actually drive that matters most to us. And it's the number one factor that determines your price. That's how good drivers can save up to 52%. Switch to Root today and see how much you could save. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Some call it insight. Others call it vision. At Pershing, we call it perspective. A perspective you'll benefit from a custodian you can rely on. One who can help navigate the big picture and whose products give you a competitive edge. One who considers everything. What will help you succeed today and tomorrow? Open yourself to a new perspective and open the possibilities. Consider everything. BNY Mellon Pershing. Learn more at Pershing.com/RIA. Pershing Advisor Solutions, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC.
At Root, good drivers save up to 52% on car insurance. That's because we care most about what really matters. You're driving. Not your age, not your job, not your zip code. It's how you actually drive that matters most to us. And it's the number one factor that determines your price. That's how good drivers can save up to 52%. Switch to Root today and see how much you could save. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
This is your butt. There are many things you can do with your butt. Your butt can make you a winner. You can use your butt to salvage. If you insist on sitting, at least take your butt around the block. At night, your butt can get you noticed.
Nice butt.
Whatever you do with your butt, get off it.
Root is a new type of car insurance that looks deeper than traditional insurers by using the sensors in your smartphone to understand how you actually drive. That's how Root is able to give better drivers a better price. Download the Root app today. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Meet the new faces of outsourcing at CloudStaff. We are hard workers, thought leaders, and fantasy football commissioners. We're just like you, only our office is a little further down the hall. Forget faceless outsourcing. Forget cubicle farms. Our teams of professionals have the skills and systems to step in and fit in seamlessly. CloudStaff, take your business to the clouds at info.cloudstaff.com.
Find inspiration in timeless stories of sacrifice and resilience. Find inspiration in little victories, in Herculean tasks, in facing trying times together, and overcoming the odds as one. The National World War II Museum in New Orleans is now open, so you can find inspiration in all of these places, and especially within yourself. Visit nationalww2museum.org for timed tickets and safety information.
From running errands to walks with friends and long days on your feet, the Merrell Jungle Moc is the perfect all-around shoe. The just right fit, unparalleled comfort, and ready-to-style look empowers you to express yourself. Make your way with the Merrell Jungle Moc.
I do. I think it's an extra phase to the offense. Deep shot! Caught! Touchdown! Claypool! Roethlisberger! Perfectly thrown!
All right, everybody, welcome back. Again, that audio is courtesy of CBS Sports in the National Football League. That audio that you heard was Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger throwing a touchdown pass to wide receiver Chase Claypool in the Steelers' victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars in Week 11. And now we have him on. We want to welcome to the program from the Behind the Steel Curtain podcast, Mr. Jeff Hartman. Hello, Jeff. How's everything?
Good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. There's a lot going on in the league right now. Let's start off with the Steelers' victory over the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mentioned earlier about Ben Roethlisberger. We'll talk more about him in just a little bit. But give me your highlights and lowlights from this game against Jacksonville.
The highlights would definitely be the defense. I mean, you hold a team, I don't care who they are, to 3 points in the National Football League, you're doing something right. You add four interceptions onto that. The Steelers defense played tremendous football. They got big plays when they needed it. They're an elite group, period. I mean, they're an elite group. That's definitely a highlight. I would say the low light for me in a 27-3 win would be the fact that in the first and third quarters, the Steelers offense failed to put up any points at all. 0 points in the opening frames of both halves. That's an issue the Steelers have struggled with, not just on Sunday, but the whole season. They've gotten off to slow starts. They've often had to come from behind. While it's worked so far, when you get into the playoffs and things like that, you have to start better. So I would say the low lights would be the Steelers' inability to start fast, whether it's the first half or the second half.
Okay, now let's stay with this game again for a moment. Again, the Steelers had their way with Jacksonville. As you mentioned, one of the highlights was on the defensive side. Jacksonville, they didn't have Gardner Minshew. Jake Luton was the starting quarterback, but we know Jacksonville's got an effective running game with James Robinson. Did you expect James Robinson to have over 100 yards against the Steelers defense, or were you confident that the Steelers defense were able to keep Jacksonville's running game in check?
Well, you know, I mean, Robinson's a great back. Mike Tomlin really talked him up big time coming into the game on Sunday. I would say, though, that I did expect the Steelers defensively to tighten up a little bit their rush defense. They had given up over 130 yards at least in the last three games that they had played. That's against Baltimore, against Dallas, and against Cincinnati. So it had been improving, but, you know, that's the area of the Steelers defense that is a little iffy, you know, is the run defense. They started out the year like gangbusters. I mean, they were all over the place. But as the year has progressed, they've gotten a little bit bad, a little bit the wrong way. But at the same time, they were missing some pieces of the puzzle. Getting Tyson Alualu back has been a huge help for the Pittsburgh Steelers defense. But I thought he'd be around 100. He got 73. So I would say it's a good job by the Steelers.
All right, we're going to talk more about the defense in just a minute, but I want to talk about the Steelers' offense. I want to start off with these wide receivers. They have been studs this year. Deontay Johnson, of course, we know about Juju Smith-Schuster's pedigree. And how about Chase Claypool, man? He has come out of nowhere and been sensational. Give me your take on the receivers and how well they've played so far this year.
Honestly, this is probably the deepest wide receiving crew I've ever seen in the Ben Roethlisberger era. And he's played with some great receivers. When you think about Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, go back to Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes. They're just so deep. And when you look at their statistics, there is literally only about 30 yards of difference between Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and Juju Smith-Schuster. All of them have put up four or more touchdowns. You throw in Ebron, he's a little over 300 yards. He has four touchdowns. Roethlisberger is able to just spread the love right now. He is finding the open receiver and hit that player. It's not like it used to be when Antonio Brown was there. You could tell that Roethlisberger felt he had to get Antonio Brown the football. He wanted to make sure he was happy, to keep everything copacetic in the locker room. But at the same time, this year, I mean, I don't think anyone predicted Chase Claypool to come in and be as good as he was right away. But he's such a physical presence. He's 6'4", 238, runs a 4.4 40. He is dominant on the outside. And you know, it's like he said in an interview today, show me a cornerback that's my size and I'll be stunned, because they just don't make him that big. So he's a mismatch nightmare, and he is coming to the NFL really prepared from the neck up, and he's proven it. He's proven he's a game breaker, and he's drawn a lot of defensive pass interference, and it's opening up things for Deontay Johnson and Juju Smith-Schuster at the same time.
I want to stay with the receiving corps for a moment. You mentioned Claypool and, of course, Juju Smith-Schuster and Deontay Johnson. And during the Ben Roethlisberger era, he's been surrounded around some nice tight ends with the likes of Heath Miller and also Vance McDonald. Eric Ebron was a steal from the Indianapolis Colts. Give me your take on Eric so far this year.
Ben, he's been great. Definitely, I did not expect him to be the blocker that he has become. He's been doing a much better job. Everyone knows his pass catching prowess, But him as a blocker has really surprised me this season. So he kudos to him for that. He's the most athletic tight end the Steelers have had in a long time because Heath Miller was great, but he was never a guy that could stretch the field and outrun anyone. He was a dual threat. He could block well, but he could also get open. He was Ben Roethlisberger's safety blanket for a lot of years. But they tried to bring in this dynamic tight end with a Ladarius Green a few years back. His injuries kept him out of the lineup. This is what Roethlisberger has wanted since Heath Miller retired, and that is a big target in a tight end that can stretch the field, those passes down the seam. You saw the touchdown to Ebron on Sunday against Jacksonville. That's what Ben loves to do. He loves that pass, you know, play fake or just three-step drop, plant the foot, and then hit him right over the middle. It was a beautiful play. I think Eric Ebron is as advertised, to be honest with you, if not better than advertised because of his blocking.
During the Roethlisberger era, he has been surrounded around some fantastic running backs, Jerome Bettis, Willie Parker, Rashard Mendenhall wasn't so bad during his time in Pittsburgh, and he's got James Conner. We know James Conner has had an inspirational run coming into the NFL, you know, with his situation and with the cancer, the leukemia being in remission. And we can't forget about Willie Parker, fast Willie Parker. Tell me what's James Conner's role with the Steelers.
Well, right now, if you see this offense evolving, you're looking at a running game that doesn't have to be dominant. They just have to be able to run effectively. And so when I look at – everyone wants to look at, you know, 100-yard rushing games. They want to look at overall statistics, and that's fine. But for me, I look at – I want to see certain statistics improve. Short yardage has to improve. They did better with that on Sunday. Also, yards per carry. You know, they were about 3.6 coming into the game. Now they bumped that up to like 3.9 because Connor was 6.8 on Sunday against Jacksonville. He didn't rush for 100 yards. He rushed for, I think, 89. But like I said, that 6.8 average, that's key because you're not going to run it a lot. Everyone knows that. Roethlisberger's offense is going to be throwing the football. But when you do run it, can you run it with getting a lot of chunk yards and really keeping a defense honest? So Connor's role with this offense is not what he probably would like. He probably wants the ball 25 to 30 times a game, but he's just not going to get that here. If he can stay healthy, he's a good three-down back. I think they need to lean on him more, not spell him as much with Benny Snell and Anthony McFarland for series. I don't think the running back by committee thing is going to work for the Steelers. I say they need to focus on Connor, especially down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree, too. I think Connor's the more complete back. Again, they can use him in so many variety of ways. I definitely agree with you on that. Just need to keep Connor and not do running back by committee. Let's move along now to the offensive line. You know, Ben, I've always said Ben Roethlisberger has been the toughest quarterback in the NFL. You can hit him with a locomotive and he'll get right back up. But his offensive line, for the most part, they've protected him nicely this year with David DeCastro and, of course, his Marquise Pouncey and Alejandro Villanueva. Can you just tell me how well, in your opinion, the offensive line has done this year?
Well, in pass protection, I don't think you can ask for anything more. In three out of the last four games, the Pittsburgh Steelers have not surrendered a sack. I mean, it's remarkable, the stretch that they're on. Now, Roethlisberger's been hit. It's not like his jersey's not dirty at the end of the game, but he hasn't been sacked in the last three games. I think maybe it's four out of the last five. I'll have to double-check that stat. But still, pass protection is tremendous. The question about the running game isn't protecting Roethlisberger because they've proven they can do that against some of the best pass-rushing defenses in the league. The question is can they open up holes for James Conner? And that's been a focus the last few weeks for the Steelers. And so hopefully they get their act together in that regard. But in this offensive line was put together to protect Ben Roethlisberger. And so when you think of it that way, they're doing their job. If they can add on the element of a running game and be a little bit more aggressive and downhill, it's just kind of icing on the cake.
All right, speaking of the icing on the cake, Jeff, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, their defense has been the icing on the cake for so many decades of that rich franchise with the Steel Curtain. And now this defense has been one of the best in the league with the likes of Tyson Alualu. Also, Cameron Hayward's been great. Stephon Tuitt's been great. Bud Dupree has been outstanding. We can't sing the praises enough of T.J. Watt and, of course, Terrell Edmonds and Joe Hayden. How about Minkah Fitzpatrick? What a steal he was from coming from Miami. Just give me your take on the Steelers overall this year.
I mean, defensively, from top to bottom, good luck finding a better group, in my opinion. I mean, you look at they lead the league in I think they lead the league in takeaways. They're leading the league right now in plus minus in the differential category. They're plus 12. They have, I think, 21 takeaways, 15 interceptions this season. I mean, it all starts – now, let me put it this way. They're very complementary. The pass rush complements the secondary. And when the T.J. Watt and Bud Dupree are getting after the quarterback, they have to get rid of the ball faster, or you get those tip balls. And next thing you know, it's floating into the hands of Minkah Fitzpatrick for an interception. They've been opportunistic. They have not missed many opportunities when it comes to taking the ball away. But also, just from a regular standpoint, they tackle well. They lead the NFL in sacks. I mean, this defense is giving up 17-plus, 17.6 or 17.8 points per game, and they've already played 10. I mean, that's a remarkable feat. I don't care who they're playing. It's the National Football League. You don't apologize for your schedule. They're doing the job, and I'll tell you what, if Terrell Edmonds in the back end, who had two interceptions on Sunday, if he and Fitzpatrick can play like that down the stretch, you add that type of versatility and that type of dynamic aspect to the secondary combined with the front leading the league in sacks, that's a pretty elite group.
And speaking of elite, Jeff, you know, Ben Roethlisberger has been one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL for a while. You put him up there with Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers, Tom Brady, and Ben Roethlisberger. He's been elite of the elite quarterback since he arrived in the league in 2004. Last year, he had that devastating elbow injury. He's back, and he's an MVP candidate. He has been playing very well. Just give me your take on Ben's 2020 season thus far.
Well, this 2020 season has been so unique because, like I said, he's never had this type of offense before in terms of the ability to just take what the defense is giving him. And it's always been the, okay, if they take away Antonio Brown, where's he going to go? You know, when he had Martavis Bryant, that was different. When he had Le'Veon Bell, the whole Killer Bees in the 2014 to 2017 era, which was great, but it's not like this. And when you look at the whole span of his career, I'm hard-pressed to find any quarterback in recent memory that has changed their game so much from the beginning of their career to where they are now. I mean, if you go back and watch film in 2004 and 2005 and early Ben Roethlisberger era, he was scrambling around, shedding defenders. The offensive line couldn't buy him time. Very rarely did you see a 3-4, even 5-step drop, and the ball came out on time to a good route run by the receiver. That is what they do all the time now. He is a system quarterback. That's not a bad thing. He is a pocket passer. That's also not a bad thing. Roethlisberger's game has completely evolved, and he's a complete quarterback now. His play above the shoulders is what used to be a detriment, is now an advantage. It's just fun to be able to watch Roethlisberger come back, not only from the elbow surgery last year, but to come back and to just play well and the way that fans have always known he's capable of playing is a good way to put it.
I mentioned that Roethlisberger is an MVP candidate this year. You've got some other MVP candidates in the race as well. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, also Alvin Kamara. How does Ben fare in the MVP race?
I don't think he fares well because he doesn't have the gaudy statistics, but I will say this. If there's a year that he at least deserves votes, it's this year. So barring a complete collapse down the stretch, or barring him lighting up the scoreboard, voters are more likely to vote for Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, even out in Arizona, over top of Ben Roethlisberger because he's not doing it flashy. You know, they're winning games, they're scoring more than 30 points a game, but he's not putting up ridiculous numbers. I mean, he's on pace to break his own personal touchdown mark and set a new mark for low in interceptions, but that's not necessarily going to compare to – you know, other quarterbacks in the league. So I do think he deserves some votes. He's never had a vote before in his career. But at the same time, I think that it's not going to be enough to get him an actual Most Valuable Player award.
We've seen quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, and Philip Rivers continue to play well into their 40s. And also Aaron Rodgers has expressed that he would like to play a little bit longer. How long do you think Ben will stick around?
Well, he has one more year after this one on his contract, so I definitely think he'll stay in Pittsburgh for that. But I also I think that the Steelers are seriously entertaining if he's willing, and that's a big if he's willing to stick around. I could see them trying to give him a 2-year extension. to not only decrease his salary cap hit, but to keep him in Pittsburgh. Because if he still wants to play and he's still playing at a high level, he's proven this year that they can be a Super Bowl contender with this defense, and they just need a quarterback to do it. So I absolutely think that they would love to have him. But at the same time, I can also see Roethlisberger saying, you know, I've played enough. I've done everything I wanted to do, and he calls it a career. And if he does that, well, then it's starting over in Pittsburgh. But at the same time, I think the Steelers would love to keep him around maybe another 3 years after this one if they could.
Hope he sticks around a little bit longer. He's been one of the best in the league for a while now. All right, let's move along now, Jeff, to the Thanksgiving game, the Thanksgiving night game between the Steelers and the AFC North rival Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore is marching into Heinz Field, with an attitude, because they lost an overtime game to the Tennessee Titans. And Lamar Jackson is just saying he has said that, you know, we're not made of the right stuff right now. We're 6-4. We've got to do better. And he holds himself accountable, even held some of his teammates accountable. I know you don't cover the Ravens, but we know this rivalry has been intense for a long time. What do you expect from both teams coming into Heinz Field on Thanksgiving night?
Well, there's definitely going to be different motivation for these teams. You know, you think about the Ravens coming off of back-to-back losses to the Patriots and then to the Titans at home on Sunday. And they're basically playing to keep their playoff hopes, meaning staying in the driver's seat for a playoff spot alive. You lose another game, and all of a sudden now you're scoreboard watching. And that's something Lamar Jackson and the Ravens haven't had to do in a while. With that said, the Steelers have motivation to not only keep their perfect streak going and move to 11-0, but they could put a giant dagger into the playoff hopes of the Baltimore Ravens. And it would basically eliminate the Ravens from having a three-peat in the division if they do beat them on Thursday night. You throw in the breaking news that's been going on right now that Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins tested positive for COVID-19, and the Ravens are going to be without two of their top three running backs on Thursday night. We don't know if there's any other high-risk contacts right now that I've seen, but other than that, I mean, they're already depleted in a lot of areas. Now you throw in at running back for a team that loves to run the ball. You think this is going to mean Lamar Jackson's going to have to deal with his arm, and that hasn't proven to be a recipe for success with the Ravens throughout his career.
You're right about that. It seems like, I mean, Lamar is one of those dynamic players, and he definitely has a lot of potential. But you mentioned it, Jeff. He still has to learn the nuances of the quarterback position. And now, as you mentioned, two Ravens players have tested positive for COVID-19. That's Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins. So now, defensively for the Steelers, how do they prepare for someone like Lamar Jackson? Because Lamar, granted, not the best from a passing standpoint, but he's so athletic, and he doesn't have two of his quality running backs. But what's the Steelers' mindset, defense mindset, coming in to neutralize Lamar?
Well, the Steelers have had great success against Lamar Jackson in the two times they've played him against him so far as a starter. And it is, you basically need to stop the run and force Jackson to have to throw to beat you. And the Steelers, you'll see him sell out to stop the run. And so with that being the case, you know, I fully expect the Steelers to have that same approach. They want to stop the run. They want to keep him in the pocket, limit his ability. You got to really play good gap discipline in the defensive front so that if you give him nowhere to run, meaning you can't let him get around the edge, you don't give him a place to step up in the pocket. But it all starts with stopping the run. That's number one. You got to stop the run. And if he does throw a risky ball, you got to take advantage of it. Steelers did that last time they played with Robert Spillane and having the pick six early in the game. You have to take advantage of mistakes when they're thrown. So I think the Steelers defense isn't going to change much in terms of philosophy and approach to this upcoming game on Thanksgiving night, but it certainly does help when you don't have to deal with Dobbins and Ingram.
Let's move over now to the other side of the ball, Jeff. We know the Steelers' offense, they've been cooking this year, and they want to keep that consistency going on Thanksgiving night against the Ravens. But we know Baltimore, let's face it, their MO for so long has been defense. They've got Marlon Humphrey, Matthew Judon, the rookie Patrick Queen out of LSU. There's also Pernell McPhee. They have the recent acquisition of Yannick Ngakoue. So, I mean, Devin Duvernay. So Baltimore, they've never been slouches when it comes to the defensive side. How are the Steelers' offense, what is the Steelers' offense plan to do to weaken Baltimore's defense?
the success that they had the last time they played them, and I would expect the Ravens to come in with a better plan, is to spread them out. You know, the Steelers were going empty. Roethlisberger was basically running things on the fly, and he had the likes of Claypool, Smith-Schuster, Johnson, and Ebron out there as his primary receiving weapons, and the Ravens weren't sure what to do in that situation. They were stacking receivers. They were struggling with, you know, whether it was their zone or man coverage, and the Steelers abused it. And it was the short passes, and then they would throw in those chunk plays to Claypool especially. The Steelers are going to have to be prepared for a more prepared Ravens defense. It's going to start up front. They have to protect Roethlisberger, give them time to throw if they can do that. I have no doubt that the Steelers will be able to move the ball on the Ravens, but can they score and convert touchdowns in the red zone? They've been very good at that this year. They are averaging just under 70% touchdown conversion rate in the red zone. In their last three games, they're at 77.7%. So in that regard, the Steelers have been doing a great job in the red zone. That's what they're going to have to do. Protect Ben, convert touchdowns, not kick field goals, and I think they have a good way to win.
It's going to be a good one. It's always a great one when the Steelers and the Ravens play. It's a big rivalry in the AFC North. They've been doing it for so long, and they're going to continue to provide some more memories on Thanksgiving night at Heinz Field along downtown Pittsburgh. All right, Jeff, before we wrap it up, of course, the Steelers and the Ravens play in the AFC North, but of course, the news that has broken about the players from Baltimore testing positive for COVID-19, Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins, but also Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow suffered a gruesome left knee injury in the loss to the Washington football team, he tore his ACL and his MCL, done for the year. They also said the injury is worse than what was once thought, because they said it's more structural damage to his knee. We know that the Steelers and Bengals are division rivals, but just tell me, give me your thoughts on the Joe Burrow injury and his career going forward.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to see that happen to a player, and especially when you hear the news that it's not just your typical ACL tear. Like, it's ACL, it's MCL, it's other structural damage. And when you have that happen, and now you're looking at a much longer recovery time. And at this time, I mean, who knows how fast he heals, but now Joe Burrow is looking at, is his 2021 season going to be in jeopardy, at least the start? I don't ever think I'm a Steelers fan, so obviously I'm rooting for the Steelers. But the Bengals, they had a lot of hope in this kid. And so instead of him getting the rest of his rookie year to get experience, the rest of his rookie year to really maybe notch some wins and some moral victory, so to speak, under his belt, now he's having to rehab, and then he's going to have to be thrust into the situation next season. When he's going to be ready, I don't know. It's a tough break. You don't want to see anyone get hurt, not like that. But you know what? It does set the Bengals back a little bit. It's a shame.
It is a shame because, I mean, it's so many great years. I mean, the people of Cincinnati really had high hopes for him, all the Bengals fans worldwide, and we wish him, pray for him, have a speedy recovery, and he can get back to being what we hoped he would be, to become a big superstar for the Bengals and, lead the NFL into the next decade or two. All right, well, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Tell everybody what you do at Behind the Steel Curtain.
I'm the co-editor of BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, which is the largest fan-driven Steelers website on the Internet. So you can go to BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We have all the breaking news, commentary, film room breakdowns, all that stuff there. I'm also the main podcaster on our podcast platform. You can find us anywhere where you get your podcast. That's Stitcher, Anchor, Google Play, whatever. You can search Steelers or Behind the Steel Curtain. You'll find us, follow us. We give you at least three podcasts a day, every single day of the week, so make sure you check us out.
Solid. And Jeff, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media, and if you have a website, whether it be your website or Behind the Steel Curtain, let them know that as well.
Yeah, my website is BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, so just check that out. But for me on Twitter, you can follow me at jhartman, H-A-R-T-M-A-N _PIT.
You heard it from him. He is Jeff Hartman. He is from Behind the Steel Curtain. It's a website that's dedicated to all things Pittsburgh Steelers content. Also, they have the podcast as well, so check it out on the website and follow him on social media. Jeff, thank you so much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and yours, and have a great one.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too. Thanks for having me.
All right, no problem. You got it. We'll be back with more right after this.
I do. I think it's an extra phase to the offense. Deep shot. Caught. Touchdown. Claypool.
Roethlisberger, perfectly thrown. 10 touchdowns.
How's your driving? Like right now? Are you the one texting, putting makeup on, eating a chicken wrap, merging without a turn signal, or going 50 in the fast lane? Or are you the one watching your blind spot, keeping your hands off the phone, turning smoothly, and going easy on the brakes? Because if you're the last one, you're a perfect candidate to save money. A lot of money. At Root Insurance, we care about you and how you drive. While other insurers put more weight on your age, zip code, education, and job, we know the most important factor in determining someone's risk on the road is how they actually drive. Sound simple? That's because it is. Here's how it works. Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. So if you're a good driver, Root is for you, because we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
New home ownership can be a real eye-opener, but it's the perfect time to look into Homeowner 101 from the Home Depot. Free live streaming workshops taught by expert associates, now at homedepot.com/workshops. You'll find indoor and outdoor workshops, even home systems workshops. Plus, you'll get the know-how you need to care for your biggest investment. Master the basics at Homeowner 101, only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Register now at homedepot.com/workshops.
All right, everybody, welcome back to this Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. A big special thank you to Jeff Hartman from Behind the Steel Curtain. Behind the Steel Curtain is a website powered by SB Nation dedicated to providing Pittsburgh Steelers content. Jeff, giving us the ins and outs of what's currently going on with the Steelers in the Steel City as they prepare for the Thanksgiving night game against the Baltimore Ravens. All right, so now let's get to the most important games. On Thanksgiving Day, of course, there are only three, as usual, on the Thanksgiving menu provided by the National Football League. Let's start off with the early games. Start off with early game number one, the Houston Texans going up against the Detroit Lions. Now, we know Detroit and Thanksgiving go hand in hand. The Lions have been playing on Thanksgiving Day for quite a while now. And the Lions, they have a home game in the Motor City in downtown Detroit at Ford Field as they go up against the Houston Texans. Now, the Lions were embarrassed last week by the Carolina Panthers. The Texans, however, pulled off a close one in H-Town, beating the New England Patriots 27-20. So on this Thanksgiving showdown between the Texans and the Lions, we've got Deshaun Watson and Matthew Stafford, two completely different quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford has displayed one of the best arms in the National Football League for quite a while, and Deshaun Watson is a lot of people say that Deshaun Watson is the Michael Jordan of the NFL. He, with his dynamic arm strength, his athletic ability, I mean, from start to finish, from top to bottom, Deshaun Watson has and has continued to create plenty of highlights in his young and short NFL career. Again, the Texans are riding a high right now. They beat the Patriots last week, Detroit losing miserably to Carolina. So definitely both of these teams have a lot of pride. It's been a tough year for Houston. Meanwhile, Detroit is still in the hunt in the NFC playoff race, so a lot of things can happen. This is going to be a decent game by both teams. I expect both teams to come out. I think what's going to happen, I think we're not going to see a lot of offense until maybe later in the second half, like maybe late third quarter going into the fourth quarter. I think things are going to start opening up a bit. I think the first half is going to be primarily defense, but I think late in the third quarter is when the tide is going to start turning a bit. So nevertheless, is going to be a great game. I expected a pretty good game between the Texans and the Lions as the first game on the Thanksgiving Day schedule. The next game that we have is the late game between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. Washington, of course, is riding a high, defeating the Cincinnati Bengals. The Dallas Cowboys with a come-from-behind victory over the Minnesota Vikings. So both teams pulled out victories in Week 11, which was last week. But now this is the continued chapter in the long and fascinating rivalry between Washington and Dallas. We know Washington, Alex Smith, is going to be the starting quarterback. They've got a nice running game with Antonio Gibson, also Peyton Barber and J.D. McKissick complements that running game nicely. They have some solid wide receivers with Terry McLaurin, Steven Sims, a good tight end with Logan Thomas. So Washington's playing well. They've been running the ball effectively defensively. Chase Young and Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat, and Fabian Moreau been playing very well as of late. And they're going up against it's a team that hasn't played well this year. Of course, we know with the injury to Dak Prescott, so many changes in the quarterback position. Ben DiNucci was one and done. Andy Dalton comes in. Dalton had an effective game against the Vikings last week. Now, Dalton, this was his first game back from the concussion and COVID-19 protocol. So he's it seems like Dallas is trying to get a streak going. We know Ezekiel Elliott is definitely going to be ready for this game. Dallas is going to have a tough time running against a Washington defense that's been underrated this year. So Dallas, CeeDee Lamb has played well as of late. So, again, Dallas defensively, they're not the same team this year. The last several years, Dallas's defense was one of the best in the league. It's been a far cry from that this year. But there's a lot at stake in this game because with Washington and Dallas and how the records have been below 500 in the NFC East, this is a strong chance that whoever wins this game could possibly take first place in the division. Because remember, you've got Washington's 3-7, Dallas is 3-7. Philly and the Giants are both below 500. So that NFC East, that division is still for the taking. It's hard to believe that a team could finish the year below 500 and could still win the division and host the playoff game. Very interesting. So that's the drama with Washington and Dallas. And, of course, we have the Thanksgiving night game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers remain the only undefeated team in the National Football League. But Baltimore, man, they've been through some changes these last several days. Last week they lost a tough one in overtime to the Tennessee Titans, and now there have been several players that have tested positive for COVID-19, including staff members. A couple of those players include J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram. So right now the Ravens and the Steelers game is still planned. The NFL has already said that they still plan to go along with this game between the Ravens and the Steelers. So what we have right here is that the Ravens won't have several of their key players for the squad, but they've got Lamar Jackson, and they've got that tight Baltimore defense. And Ben Roethlisberger has been phenomenal this year. The whole Steelers team has been great defensively and offensively. Again, they're the only undefeated team left in the league. It's going to be a great game Thanksgiving night at Heinz Field in downtown Pittsburgh. Ravens and Steelers, that's another continued chapter in that AFC North rivalry. All right, when we come back from break, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. And you're listening to this Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up.
There said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. My game of the week is actually all three of them, the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. Before I talk a little bit more about the three games, the NFL on Thanksgiving Day is definitely a unique experience. It dates back to November 25th, 1920. I'm here to give you a little history lesson for a moment. November 25th, 1920 was the first Thanksgiving Day game or games played in the National Football League. I'll give you a list of the schedule of the games that played on that first Thanksgiving Day. The Canton Bulldogs squared off against the Akron Pros. Akron would go on to beat Canton 7-0. The Decatur Staleys beat the Chicago Tigers 6-0. The Dayton Triangle shut out the Detroit Heralds 28-0. The Columbus Panhandles and the Elyria Athletics battled to a tie at 0. The Chicago Boosters beat the Hammond Pros 27-0. And the All-Tonawanda beat the Rochester Jeffersons 14-3. That was the schedule on the first Thanksgiving Day in the National Football League, November 25th, 1920. Now, those teams don't exist in this current NFL, but the NFL and Thanksgiving Day has been a winning combination for a very long time. When you think of Thanksgiving Day in the National Football League, you have the traditional teams that play on Thanksgiving Day, like the Chicago Bears, the Detroit Lions, the Dallas Cowboys, Washington Football Team, and you know, that's what you really think of when you hear about Thanksgiving Day in the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. But the NFL on Thanksgiving Day is more than just football. It's a chance to not only enjoy your football games, but to enjoy fellowshipping with your family members, talking with your friends, just, you know, being thankful for everything that you have. Not just being thankful for the game of football, but more importantly, just being thankful for the little things like health and strength and vitality and just a good life. And, man, I tell you what, the NFL on Thanksgiving Day, it's been around for a long time, and it's continuing to shine bright. It's been some very good games on Thanksgiving Day with the likes of the Cowboys-Washington rivalry, the Bears-Lions rivalry. Can't forget about Leon Lett when he played for the Dallas Cowboys in the game they played at Texas Stadium against the Miami Dolphins. There's just been a ton of great games that have been on Thanksgiving. And I tell you one thing, the tradition is going to continue with this Thanksgiving. Houston and Detroit, Washington and Dallas, and Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The Lions continuing in that Thanksgiving tradition as they hope to get back on winning ways where they will take on the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson going up against Matthew Stafford. J.J. Watt, also you got Marvin Jones Jr., Adrian Peterson. Of course, it's always a festive time of the year around Thanksgiving in Detroit. And it's going to be a good game. It's going to be a solid game. And what's always been a solid game and a solid rivalry is Washington and Dallas. I mean, they go together like hand in glove. You know, the names with Theismann and Aikman and Emmett and Dion and Darryl Green and Art Monk, and, you know, the list goes on and on with these players that have graced this rivalry, and the rivalry will continue in this chapter on Thanksgiving Day. So that's going to be a good game. And, of course, the nightcap will be Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Again, Ravens and Steelers. We have Lamar Jackson squaring off against Ben Roethlisberger. But we also got some other key players in this game. So it's definitely going to be a sight to see, for that matter, on Thanksgiving. So the NFL on Thanksgiving has always been special. It's going to be extremely special this year, considering the unfortunate circumstances that we face in our country and in our world right now. Just a lot of uncertainty right now. And we don't know what the future is going to hold in terms of what day we'll be have an opportunity to see our loved ones and close friends and just get back to normal, whatever that is again, but definitely something that is always certain, the National Football League on Thanksgiving Day. All right, when I come back from break, we'll wrap up the show, and we'll close it out. I'll give you my picks for the Thanksgiving games. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to this Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up.
Want 145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan. Or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, now it's time for my picks for the Thanksgiving games. I'm going to start off with the Houston Texans going up against the Detroit Lions. It's going to be a close game, but I think Houston will march into Motown and get the victory. I like the Texans to beat the Lions. Great rivalry game between the Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. It's going to be an exciting game as always, but I think Washington will march into Jerry World and get the victory. And finally, the nightcap between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers is going to be a good game, but Pittsburgh will remain undefeated. I like the Steelers to beat the Ravens, so my picks will be Houston, Washington, and Pittsburgh on this Thanksgiving schedule. And that's going to wrap it up for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I'm Ed Robinson, and on behalf of everyone out there, I want to thank you, listeners. Thank you to all the listeners out there, and I'm truly thankful to you. I'm thankful to all of the listeners that have supported the program, supported the show, and continue to support the show. I'm thankful for all the listeners. I'm thankful for my family, friends, my also relatives, co-workers, colleagues, and everyone out there. I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful for this year. Again, this year was not the best year, but again, there's so much to be thankful for, and for all the people that have just been impacted by everything that has gone on in 2020. Just keep your heads up, and my thoughts and prayers are with you. And again, I'm so thankful for all of you listeners out there, and I thank you. I'm Ed Robinson, and you've listened to this Thanksgiving edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. We leave you with some highlights from Week 11. This audio is courtesy of CBS Sports, Fox Sports, NBC Sports, and the National Football League. So long, everyone.
I do. I think it's an extra phase to the offense. Deep shot. Caught. Touchdown. Claypool. Roethlisberger.
Fakes. Carr. Looking. Coverage is great. Finally throwing, and that will be caught for the touchdown by, of all people, Jason Witten.
Well, the Chiefs actually helped them.
Great protection again. Mahomes to the end zone. Wide open. Touchdown, Kelce. Patrick Mahomes.
Valdez Scantling falls out. And the Colts have it. The rookie Julian here in this ball game from 39 to win it. And that good hold. Colts win it.